Welcome to the Autobrack podcast. There is no podcast jingle in this episode in respect to Our Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II, who sadly passed away last week.
Yep, very sad news indeed. I don't think we'll see another monarch quite like her again, 70 years on the throne.
Yeah, I agree. Very sad news. So that was a fitting tribute there, Mark.
She will be sadly missed.
She will.
Okay, podcast time.
Podcast time.
We're here. We're back.
And it's been a while.
It's been a while. So, podcast today then, Kev. Dale, what are we talking about?
Well, what we want to do was address some of the questions we've been asked since the last podcast. A few things that we've seen online, people asking for recommendations, what products we recommend, what are some of the hints and tips, getting into detailing, some do's and don'ts.
Oh, do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts. I've got a few do's and some don'ts as well.
some don'ts.
Whatever comes out your mouth, do, Kev.
And don'ts.
Plenty of don'ts.
So is this the do's and don'ts of detailing then, Kev?
Yeah, so basically we've just got some do's and don'ts that we've put together for people who are into detailing or looking to get into detailing. And what some of the key things that you should do or the key things that you should not do.
Oh, wow. We could go on forever, yeah?
We could go on forever, yeah, but we've got about 12, so we're not going to go on forever.
Go on then. This will be quite interesting, this will.
I've got a question, Kev. Are these 100% do's and 100% don'ts or more of advisories on what to do for your benefit?
Shut up, Dale.
Thanks.
These are, well, there's grey areas and everything. So are they 100% do's and don'ts? Probably not. You could probably find something in there somewhere that may suit or may not suit you. However, these are suitable for the vast majority of people.
So don't take it to the letter of the law.
Unless I tell you to.
Okay.
Well, it's coming off the guru himself, so, you know, what Kev says.
Shut down. I can see you licking. So my first do then, my first do-do, and the biggest one is always read the label.
Do you know, we get so many customers with, you know, application error, not getting the best out of the products, which they thought, and it's all down to looking at the instructions.
It's all on the label.
It's everything is on our label. So, you know, if you get an Autobrack bottle of product, please read the label. So it's a wealth of knowledge on there.
I mean, I always look at it as if, you know, you wouldn't go across B&Q and buy some super strong industrial adhesive and not read the label to see how long you need to leave it on for or, you know, not to get in your hands. So with detailing products, it's exactly the same. Just make sure if you read those instructions, they will give you a better understanding of what the product does, how it works, and how to get the best out of it.
And it's not just products as well. It's accessories. Like, there's care information on the label. So
yeah, there's how to use them and how to look after them.
Exactly.
However, if you talk to us three, and if we go to IKEA and get something from IKEA,
don't go to IKEA. Don't like it.
Well, and then we open the box of wardrobe. Do we look at the instructions?
That's a man thing, though, isn't it? Supposedly, according to the better half, it's a man thing. Yeah. Not reading
but when you're left with like four securing bolts,
spares.
However, using a detailing product, then probably a bit different.
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah, so that's my first one, is read the instructions, and that's, for me, that's a biggie.
Yeah, because, we try to be very, very clear on our instructions, don't we, the products. Try to give you, a good guide on how to use it, how to get the best from it, dilution, etc. Everything's on there.
Quite a lot of work goes into actually distilling down, the way you'd use a product into something that will fit on that label. And we'll give you, a good overall view of how you can use it. There is always additional information on the website. So if there's something on the label or there's something missing from the label, you can go out and check it on the website and that will give you a bit more information, especially when it comes to like the how to use, because we can go into a lot more detail, a lot more space. But it should give you the fundamentals of what you need to do to use that product.
And if you're not sure, you can always contact us and we can, explain it another way if you're not quite sure what the instructions are. Hopefully we've made them clear enough, but sometimes we get it. Sometimes people are a bit unclear. So you can always message in and we'll help you out.
yeah,
best we can.
I mean, although there isn't a lot of space on the back of a bottle, on a label, but we do try and cover everything. Everything we can. All the important information anyway. So
yeah, all the important stuff. So that's one of my do's. So one of my don'ts. So I'm going to go with one of on my list, which is don't use the wrong chemicals.
Don't use the wrong chemicals for certain parts of the vehicle, etc.
No. So basically what I mean is don't use the wrong type of chemical. So don't go out and buy a household cleaner that you think, ooh, that might work for, you know, paintwork or as a wheel cleaner. I mean, just some examples I've heard off over top, you know, off the top of my head over the years is using oven cleaner to clean wheels.
Right.
Because obviously, the, you know, really ingrained brake dust, I'll use some oven cleaner on there, that'll get it off, and then destroys the finish on your wheels.
Yeah.
Don't use ferro liquid for washing cars. We all know that one. Yeah. You know, going back years again, you know, don't use tea towels to dry your car. Use a dedicated drying towel.
Why can't we use ferro liquid on cars, Kev?
I mean, it's not as big an issue as it used to be honest, because the salt levels that are now in washing liquid now is made so it's safe for your skin. So it's not as caustic as it used to be. It used to have contained a lot of salt, but you don't get the same sort of lubrication from
you don't get anything.
Washing liquid. No, it's designed as a degreaser.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you want something that's going to look after your paint and be nice and gentle on your skin as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, I read somewhere, it was probably years ago, well, it says years ago, that somebody was using bleach on their, I'm not sure if it was underneath their bonnet or wheels, one of them. Like the normal bleach that you spray, bleach, kitchen bleach, whatever, spray. They were using that on their wheels or engine bay. I can't remember what it was. So I kind of read that and I thought, wow.
There's a lot of things out there that I've heard of over the years that people use different products from, you know, that you can buy from like a, you know, your cleaning aisle in your local supermarket for cleaning cars. Some might work, some might not. But I would always rather use a product that's been specifically designed for use on cars.
And tested.
Yeah.
Yeah, because our products are thoroughly tested for months and months and months and months, years sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Just to make sure, you know, the customer's getting the best product.
Thing is, when you thoroughly test a product like that as well, you know how it's going to react on certain surfaces. So, you know, you might find a product that works okay on, say, for example, glass. But then things like household glass cleaners don't have anti-smear ingredients in them, a lot of them. So you might find it looks fine in the daylight. If you go out at night, there's a lot of streaks or glare on the glass from headlights and stuff. And that's one of the reasons why you wouldn't want to use a household glass cleaner to clean your windscreen.
Yeah.
Because it's not designed for that. They haven't taken into account those types of scenarios that may crop up, which a lot of automotive products, you have to take that into account.
And I suppose it goes with the bikes as well, Dale. I mean, you know, it's the same for bikes, mountain bikes, etc.
Yeah, of course. We've got our new Extreme range now, which obviously is dedicated to mountain bikes, motorbikes, quads, etc. And all that's been designed and tested on a wide range of motorbikes, mountain bikes. So it's safe to use. We know it is. It's been tested. It works.
Yeah, it's safe.
It's safe, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of sensitive surfaces on bikes and mountain bikes, etc.
As there is with cars now, with carbon fibre now, and you know, different materials about. So obviously, it's a massive investment now, your vehicle is.
Yep.
You know, and money's getting tighter, as we all know, as we move into winter. So, you know, investing in good products is going to be more beneficial in the long run.
Yeah. Keep your bike, car, whatever, looking at its best all the time. And protected, of course. That was a good one, Kev.
Thanks.
Next.
It's your turn next.
Okay. I haven't got one.
Oh, he's not got a list.
I'll go then. I've got to do, and presuming you've already done your wheels here, it's like starting from the top when washing. That's a do, isn't it? You would start from the top, Kev.
Yep.
So why would I start from the top?
It's basically because if you're in the midst of, you know, washing your vehicle, even if you need your two-bucket wash, you want to make sure that you are not bringing any of that dirt that's going to be on the lower half of the vehicle, so sills, bottoms of the doors, etc., and bringing that back up to the top. So if you are going to swirl the vehicle in any way, you're going to localise it to an area that is less visible. Yep. So start from the top, That goes with obviously your two bucket wash. If you're doing your contact wash, things like snow foam as well, normally start from the top and work your way down.
So basically, you're starting from the cleaner areas and working towards the dirtier potentially areas.
So you're doing the dirtier bits last. So normally, the last bit we do on a car when we are contact washing is the bottoms of the doors and the sills either side and the front and rear bumper.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the dirtiest areas.
And obviously, it's opposite for the pre-wash, isn't it? When you're using a pre-wash.
See, pre-wash is, it's one of those areas, it's a bit of a grey area. Some people do and some people don't. So when we pre-wash, we will always rinse at the bottom. Not from the bottom, so it's a little bit different. So if I said to you, I'm going to rinse from the bottom, you would expect me to rinse from the bottom all the way to the top. That's not what we do. We rinse at the bottom first. So we rinse across the bottom of the vehicle, up to around about halfway up the door, so door handle height. Then we go and rinse from the top. The reason we do that is you're using the power of the pressure washer combined with the product, and that way if I rinse from the top first, all that pre-wash solution that's at the bottom is going to be removed just by free-flowing water, so you're not getting the best out of the product.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a difference there between, you know, rinsing from the bottom and rinsing at the bottom.
Good explanation.
Thanks.
Okay.
Can you read my handwriting?
Just about. Okay, I've got a don't. And my don't is do not or don't neglect items such as brushes, wash mitts, etc.
Yeah.
When storing them, basically. So
that goes back to reading the instructions a little bit, doesn't it, on care?
Yeah, it's cool, yeah. I'll give you a perfect example. Our wash mitts, well, any lambs will wash mitt. At the end of the day, it's a natural product. Okay, comes off here. Cheap, whatever. And if you leave your wash mitt in water, it will just degrade and it will just eventually just fall apart. You know, they're not designed. They're designed to be kept clean.
And dry.
Mm-hmm. So when you've used your wash mitt, you rinse it through with clean water and then you dry it out as much as you can and then you pop it in the bag that's provided,
yep.
Basically. There's a lot of customers that leave wash mitts in a bucket of dirty water and you're just asking for trouble. Yep. You know, eventually that...
It just rots them, doesn't it?
Just rots them. It'll just rot them away and all of a sudden you'll just start pulling big clumps of wool off the mitt and then, you know, customers think that it's faulty. It's a faulty mitt.
Yeah.
When you've really got to look after them.
Especially with it starts to smell as well. If you're leaving it in water, your mitt will start to smell.
Stagnant water, yeah. But it's a natural product, so you know you've really got to take care.
But there is a, so you can go too far, can't you? There with mitts in terms of how you look after them. So a lot of people have read and seen where they will machine wash them, and then tumble dry them.
Yeah.
Which again, okay, yes, you think you're looking after your mitt, but you're actually accelerating the wear and degrading it faster. Mm. Because we recommend, as Mark said, rinse them through the clean water, wring them out as much as possible, put them back in the bag that it comes with, if it comes with a mesh bag like ours do, and then hang them out to air dry.
Yeah.
You don't need to tumble dry them.
You don't. There is only one way to clean these mitts, and that's what we just said.
Yeah, clean water.
Yeah, clean water. Do not use any fluid or any conditioner or whatever. You pop it in there with your drying towels or your microfibers. A big no-no.
Yeah.
No, don't.
Not designed to be machine washed.
No.
And that goes for both lambs wool and synthetic as well. Synthetics, again, even though they are a harder wearing type of mitt, they're not designed for machine washing and tumble drying.
Yeah, I mean, wheel brushes as well. You know, you've got wheel brushes, woolen wheel brushes, whatever you use. You know, when you use them, rinse them out with water and then, you know, squeeze as much water out as you can and leave them to air dry. Do not leave them in your buckets. Because, again, they're just going to, you know.
Same with your detailing brushes.
It is. You know, the product will last a hell of a lot longer.
Yeah. So. I mean, obviously, there's different types of detailing brushes. Some have got wooden handles, which, again, when they're wet, the wood expands.
So that can
promote premature, breaking of the brush.
Yeah.
And also, even with the plastic handle ones, obviously, you've got glue inside the collar, which, again, if that's left wet all the time, it will degrade faster.
Yeah.
So, again, rinse them through. Most of them have got little holes in them, so it's quite handy for hanging up and just let them drip dry.
And they do last. I've still got some of the old one-handle DBS brushes because I look after them.
Yeah, if you look after them and do what, you know, do what we advise, then, you know, they'll look after you, basically.
Cool.
So that's a good don't.
That is a good don't.
So we have a do-do.
You need a do-do now.
Back to you, then.
Back to you, Kev.
Back to me, because I've got the list back.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
So Dale's done that one. So another good do then is using the correct accessories, which basically means the right type of towels, mitts and brushes, which ties in a little bit with what we've just been
saying. So the right tool for the right job, Kev.
The right tool for the job.
Okay.
I won't tell you how many tools around here. Quite a few.
Quite a few.
So yeah, so basically what I mean is, obviously, if you are, to take for example, drying, as I mentioned, you know, earlier, you wouldn't dry your car with a tea towel or, you know, a bath towel. No. You want to use a dedicated plush drying towel, whether that's a twisted loop drying towel or just a natural, you know, microfiber plush drying towel. There goes my pencil. You want to use the correct towel or the correct mitt. Obviously, we're using a wash mitt as opposed to a sponge for washing. And you're using the correct brushes. So if you're working on sensitive materials, you're using a soft brush. And obviously, if you're working on more harder wearing areas like engine bays and stuff, you're using a harder bristle brush and not using a soft or an ultra soft detailing brush to clean an engine bay. Because one, obviously, it's not going to achieve the desired results and you're going to prematurely degrade the brush. Mm. So that's another good.
For example, I've got an example of that. So when you're cleaning wheels, and your wheels aren't too bad, they're just grimy, dirty, etc., you wouldn't pick up a wheel and parts brush to clean them.
No.
No, you stick with the DBS's, you know, softer brush.
Yeah, or, you know, even a wheel mitt, depending on the wheel finish. If you've got a really delicate finish wheel, you definitely wouldn't pick up a harder brush. But obviously the hard brushes do have their place.
You've
got a wheel that's really bad, a lot of caked on brake dust, or, you know, is a step away from a refurb, then a harder brush is the tool for the job, as Dale says. The right tool for the right job. I think you might have heard that on an advert somewhere.
Yeah, we've heard it somewhere. Dale?
Have you got another one, Dale?
Are we on a don't?
Are we going on a don't, yeah? Or you can do a do?
Well, I've got a don't, is, especially with our products, is do not over-apply.
Big, big mistake a lot of people make.
Which, again, if you read the label correctly...
Yeah.
It all comes back to that in one way or another.
Danger over-applying.
Because we always say less is more with Autobrite products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't just keep on telling you this all the time. It really is a fact. And the trap everybody falls into is spray. They think more is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's clearly not.
Two prime examples are P64 and Abyss, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where when people first start using those two products, 9 times out of 10, you think, I haven't put enough on, so I'll put some more on. And then,
Speaking from experience there, Dale.
Pretty much, Kev, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, well, everybody's done that.
I think it's...
Well, even after listening to you, Kev, with P64, I remember first time I tried it, well, it was P32 back then, but even when you said, you only need one little spritz, I was like...
You still over-applied it, didn't
you? Still over-applied it on my bonnet, I did.
But, I mean, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people come to realise when they do like the back to basics. A lot of the feedback that we get is, you know, how much product they have been overusing or how much, you know, they can save themselves just by knowing the right amount of product to apply.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, it goes back to the instructions of you can apply minimal product if you know the correct way of applying it, you know.
And that goes back to you reading the instructions to give you the correct dilution rates or application method.
Again, so it's not just the correct way of how to use it, it's also how to get the most out of it in terms of what it does, but also in terms of how much product you can get for your car out of that one bottle or, you know, that 5 litre or whatever you're diluting as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Value for money.
And that's one of the reasons why we reduced the Abyss from 250 to 100 mil, wasn't it? Because you just don't use that much product.
No, you don't.
250 will last you a lifetime.
And this is it, isn't it? It's value for money. You get so much concentration, you know, and something like Purple Velvet, for instance, you don't need to, you know, put 300-400 mil in a bucket. You just don't need to, you know. So
citrus wash, the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's down forever.
These products have been designed like that, you know, to save the customer's money, but still get the same results.
And that's what it's all about moving forward, isn't it?
Mm.
Yep,
certainly is. which one did you do then, Dale? Was that a don't?
Yeah, don't over-apply.
I've got a do-do. Are you ready? My do-do. My do-do.
Yeah, we don't want to know.
Be mindful of washing your car in warmer conditions. So warmer conditions. So you know what it's like when the sun's out. You know, you see the sun, you want to clean your car, etc.
This year we do actually know this what it's year, like when the sun's out for a change.
We can actually say we've had a pretty good summer this year for once.
Too hot for me.
I'm going to say it didn't stop us moaning about it, did it?
We always moan about summer.
Oh, it's nice and warm again today. Oh, it's too warm.
Yeah, that's it. But things like, you know, to be honest, it goes for everything, doesn't it? It goes for snow foams, it goes for pre-wash, it goes for dressings.
Glass.
Everything. You've just got to be really careful, you know. Yeah. I mean, even if you spray water on a car while it's hot, you'll get a watermark.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we spoke about before in terms of obviously not washing in direct sunlight and things like that, but what a lot of people don't seem to realise, and something that I've come across a few times over this summer, is it's not just direct sunlight.
Mm.
And you can still be working in the shade, and it can still be warm enough to cause products to dry. So if you've got a high ambient air temperature, it can still dry stuff out, especially if there's a breeze. So you might think, well, I'm round a corner, I'm in the shade. But if you've got a bit of a through breeze that's actually, you know, evaporating the product as it's going through, that will lead to, you know, products drying out a lot quicker as well.
Yeah.
And not only that, your paintwork sort of holds the heat. If it's been really hot in the day and you think, oh, I'll wash it later on at night.
Yeah.
It can still, your panels can still be really warm. Yeah,
especially if they're on dark cars, like, you know, blacks, for example. You know, a black car can be, the panel temperature can be 70, 80 degrees. And even, like, say, after, you know, if you think, well, I'll do it at 7, 8 o'clock at night, it can still be, I mean, we were looking at temperatures over the summer, it's still 20-odd degrees at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, isn't it? So, realistically, you've either got to be really effective in the way you wash or just not do it while it's really hot and wait, you know, wait for a cool day.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So start at midnight, get me torture in it.
I'm sure the neighbours wouldn't mind at all.
I mean, it's pretty uncomfortable anyway when you've got the sun bursting down, you know. Washing your car, there's nothing worse, is there? You get really hot and sweaty, so just give it a bit longer.
I'd rather wash in the rain.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be cold and rainy than be outside and it be red hot and...
I mean, mind you, on the next back to basics, when you chuck it down, Kev.
Save your water bill.
You get lots of water spots in there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it goes for a lot of products, really. Not just our products. Any other products that you want to use on your car covers a wide spectrum, really, of products.
That was a do and a don't in one, then, really.
Pretty much, yeah. good bit of advice, mindful, that was.
Don't do it in hot weather.
Okay, what have we got next?
So we've got another one, which is something that, again, a lot of people can do and can cause issue, depending on the style, type of product you're using, and is, again, something that's probably related to heat as well quite a lot. So is spraying products when you're doing an interior, spraying products directly onto surfaces.
I know what you're going to say,
dashboards, glass, things like that.
Yeah.
Again, not recommended any time, really, but really important when it's hot outside.
Yeah.
You don't want to be sat inside a red hot car anyway, but no. Spraying something, for example, a glass cleaner onto a windscreen in hot conditions, one, the glass is really hard to clean, but two, if that product drops on the dash, that can actually cause issues if you don't see it and remove it.
Yeah, the glass cleaner is designed to to clean the glass, not the dashboard.
It is indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
So we would recommend spraying onto a towel.
Yeah.
Same with dashboards. A lot of cars now have got these infotainment screens and, you know, touch-sensitive buttons and all that sort of stuff. Spray onto a towel and wipe it down. You'll use a lot less product, and it'll be a lot easier to get it off without leaving any streaks or residue than if you sprayed loads of product directly onto the surface and then try and buff it.
Mm-hmm.
So spray onto a towel and wipe that one. More economical way of using product as well.
Yeah. Cool. That's a good one. Dale, have you got a...
No. Okay. There's a simple answer to that.
Okay.
Oh, so back to me then, are we? So I've got another don't. Don't forget the nooks and crannies.
Oh, so the nooks and crannies. Oh, dear.
The devil's in the details. Mm. So... You know, if you're cleaning the exterior of your car and you want to do a really good job, make sure you're getting those nooks and crannies, like around the wing mirror glass, inside the fuel cap, door shuts, engine bay, inner wings, boot shuts, that sort of thing, wheel arches.
Number on your gear stick. The numbers on your gear stick.
Wow.
Depends on your car.
Yeah.
Depends on your stick.
Mine's an old car.
Have you got numbers on your stick?
Yeah. And I've got left and right on my shoes.
Have you got numbers on your stick in your car, Mark?
No.
Shiny stick.
I've got shiny stick. I've got a metal stick. Anyway, shall we move away from sticks? So, the perfect example there then, Kev, is when you clean the vehicle, when you you know, you washed it, you dried it, etc. And then you open the doors and you haven't cleaned the inside shuts. Of the door shuts.
Yeah. Big letdown. Big letdown.
Yeah.
Same with making, you know, if you've done your wheels and you've got your wheels really clean, you dress your tyres and you've not done anything with the arches.
There's nothing worse. Nothing worse than dirty arches.
Parking up with your wheels at an angle and you can see straight into the archway, all the dirt and all the mud still sitting.
Yeah.
It's just those little things that make the difference, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Don't forget your nooks and crannies, folks.
Is it me now?
Have you got one?
I'll have one.
You'll have one in a second. There you go.
All right, I'm back. where did it go?
It's like being at school, isn't it? You know, when you've done your homework and nobody else has. It's like, quick, pass me the answers.
Copying Kev's homework.
So, I've got, it's a doo-doo. Make sure it, you use the two bucket method, the two bucket system. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a third bucket system for your wheels, etc. Now, I've seen a lot of car cleaning people use only one bucket.
Yes.
And they, I've seen a lot of people. You know, you do your, you obviously do your citrus and whatnot. You pre-wash. And then you put your Magi foam on, or desired foam, whatever, and then they are cleaning the car with the foam on. So they're picking up a wash mitt and what one bucket, and they're in and out of the bucket. Dale's got his hand
put
up
there. Put your hand down, Dale.
And they're washing the car with the foam all over the car. Yeah. Kev, that is the wrong way to do it.
Yes, Dale, that's the wrong way to do it. It is the wrong way to do it. So if you do need... If you are washing your car with the strict intention of washing it whilst minimising the possible swirls and scratches you're going to put in your car, then things like pre-washes, two-bucket washes, grit guards, you know, and a quality wash mitt are very important. However, again, if you are if you just want to get your car clean and you're not completely fussed on swirl marks and things...
100%, yeah. That, bless you. That is your washing technique, then... That's fine.
Yeah, all you got to remember is obviously the foam that you're using is not designed as a shampoo. No. You know, it's not got the same lubricity as you're getting over the paintwork as a shampoo. So my recommendation would be to make sure you're using each individual product as an individual step the way it's meant to be used, and the two-bucket system is part of that. Mm-hmm. The three-bucket system, so having an extra bucket for your wheels... Realistically, again, not an absolute necessity, but if you've got delicate finished wheels, powder coated, something like that, or you really don't want to risk inflicting any swirls on them, they're ceramic coated or they're well protected, then a separate bucket with a wheel mitt and some wheel shampoo is a good way of cleaning them as well, you know, whilst making sure that they're going to be swirl free for as long as possible.
Fantastic.
Good answer.
So next time, Dale, two buckets. Or
get someone else to do it for you.
I do use two buckets when I wash my bikes.
Oh. Oh, right. Okay.
What do you do? Drop it in one bucket and then rinse it out in the other one?
Funny, Kev.
Go on then. Wash.
So I've got a...
Don't.
Don't use fabric softener when washing your towels.
Wow, this is... I must see this. 10 times a day? Mm-hmm. 10,
yeah.
5 times a day, whatever. A lot of people, customers... get into this, you know, a lot of customers as well when they mix towels together. So if you use the towel for, let's just say, a dressing or an applicator or whatever, they tend to just bundle it all in the washer, fabric conditioner, cleaner, whatever, and that's it. Everything's, I wouldn't say ruined when it comes out, but it's not going to work. Then the messenger is saying,
why is it my dry towel just pushing the water around?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, do not use fabric conditioners. And separate your towels. Please separate your towels.
See, separating your towels. So there's a couple of different things there that you need to talk about. So you don't use fabric softener because it coats the fibres in something that makes them soft.
And that's why when you use it, it pushes the water
that's
around.
Why it doesn't absorb water, So basically what it does, is you've almost put like a water repellent coating on the fibres.
On the fibres, yeah.
So if you're trying to absorb something with that towel, it's just going to push it around.
Yeah.
obviously it's not ruined. You can rewash it and it will come off. But it's just an idea to think. Most people will get that wrong, not because they intentionally use a softener, but because they might be using an all-in-one.
Yeah.
You know, like a
cleaner fabric softener.
Yeah.
And not really realizing. So you either want to use a dedicated microfiber wash, such as clean towels.
Clean towels.
Which will not only clean them, but will also rejuvenate the fibers and obviously prolong the life of your towels. Or if you've not got that, a non-bio liquid. Mm. So non-biological liquid is the most gentle that you can use for your towels with no added fabric softener.
And we want your towels to last as long as possible. And doing it this way, washing them, caring for them in the correct way.
I mean, the other thing as well, like we're saying about washing towels separately, what you've got to think about is you don't have to wash every single towel separately, but if some of those towels have been used for buffing waxes, for example, or sealants or different types of protection products, they can have residue on there, which can then transfer to other towels. Mm. So it's really the main problem is doing your drying towel with your microfibers. That can become an issue. Wax residue can get your drying towel, and then again, you're back in the same situation where you're pushing water around, you're not actually, you know, soaking it up.
Mm.
So separating your towels is another important one.
That's a good one, that one, Dale. Because we do see that a lot.
Yeah, we do. We do. Honest. We do get a lot of inquiries about that.
We do indeed. And I've just got one more to go.
One more do,
and that is research your products before purchasing. So
online,
whether that's online or coming in talking to us in store,
and
getting advice on what product is going to be right for what you're looking to achieve.
Yeah.
Because again, a lot of people will go out and buy products not really realizing what it is it does, or they think it's for one thing when actually if they'd have read further into it, it actually does other things as well. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm looking to buy something, say I'm looking to buy a TV or, you know, a laptop or something, I will research a few reviews first, or I might go and watch a YouTube video.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you can't do that with detailing products. Mm-hmm. A lot of our products are out there on YouTube or on our website, or you can come in store and talk to us about them. So if you're not sure, talk to us before you buy it, and that way we can tell you if it's the right product for you.
Yeah.
And for what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So that is a big thing. So again, from what we've just discussed, my two biggest takeaways are read the instructions and research your product before you buy it.
Yeah, very important.
Good advice.
Yep. That way, hopefully, you'll never go wrong.
I think that the instruction thing is an absolute must. It really is. It's the most important one. Read the instructions.
Indeed. And that is our do's and don't list.
That was good.
Yeah.
If you're still with us, thank you very much for staying.
They are. They're always with us. Great. Okay, so
what's next on the agenda?
Shall we? I think it's a bit of a catch up now, isn't it? Is it a bit of a catch up? I mean, we've had a couple of things. We've done a couple of things over the last few weeks.
Well, we had our summer meet.
Yeah, our summer.
Yep.
Which our 90s meet.
Which we spoke about in the last podcast, didn't we?
We did.
So we were telling people that it's coming up and what we're planning on doing. But obviously now we've had it.
It was great.
It was a good day.
It was a really, really good day. We had some show and shine winners.
Mm-hmm.
We had Collada
Coffee.
Collada Coffee and his larder.
Yeah,
that was cool. That was really cool.
Thanks for joining us. That was really,
yeah,
really
he
good.
Did quite well as well.
Yeah.
We had Hot or Cold providing food.
Yeah.
Always beautiful food from Hot or Cold. And we had some absolutely amazing cars. Lots of people around.
Stunning cars.
Thank you for turning up. Thank you for coming visitors and attending our 90s meet. It was epic.
We actually dropped on with the weather as well, because when we were on our way to work, it was bucketing down, wasn't it?
So, favourite car of the day, Kev?
Favourite car? I did quite like that Mark III Golf. So the one that got the Marlboro.
Was that the
Marlboro Racing
like
decals on it.
Ah, right.
That looked really cool.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favourite. But there was loads.
It was hard to choose, wasn't it?
What about you, Dale?
There was a brown Jetta there that I quite liked.
Well, actually, the guy with the brown Jetta.
That was a Mark I Jetta.
That was the Mark I Jetta.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Came
Third
place.
In our show and shine,
Third place in our show and shine.
Nice.
You spent quite a few hours modifying that one, so it was... Nice and low.
Stunning car.
Different engine, 1.8 turbo, I think, 20 valve engine in it.
Yeah, it was just something a bit different, wasn't it? I liked it. Yeah,
and it was brown.
Yeah. So the guy who came second was a guy in a Porsche 924.
Yeah.
That was absolutely stunning.
Gorge Red 924.
Beautiful car.
It was mint.
Absolutely.
Came second. And then first place was probably the epitome of the 90s hot hatch, which was the Nova GT.
A proper Nova, Kev.
What a car.
Proper Nova.
What a car. Beautiful car. That was the red one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty much immaculate.
What a machine.
And he won first place in our show in Shine.
I don't know if you remember on the day, there was a... It wasn't a Mark 1. I think it was... Was it a Mark... Golfs. I don't do golfs. So was it a Mark 2 GTI Golf in white?
Yeah.
With with the twin headlamps at the front. That was absolutely stunning. And I'm not really a fond of VW, to be honest, although I've got one.
See, that probably would have been this... I think that was a 16 valve. That's why it got the twin headlights.
That was an awesome car.
Whereas 8 valves had singles, I think.
Beautiful car that was.
That was really nice.
But you know, you look around, there was some amazing
some epic cars.
Escort Cozzies.
Yeah.
Sierra Cozzies.
Yeah. Jonathan's blue Cozzy, Escort Cozzy.
Yeah, that Land Rover.
That Land Rover was cool.
Was it Defender?
Defender. Did it have a V8 in it?
It must have done, because the way it left here, it wasn't a diesel, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
we had some really good cars.
Yeah.
A lot of people enjoyed it.
We just wanted to do something a bit different, didn't we, this time, I think?
Yeah.
Because we did the summer meets last year. We had Team Hardy, which is a great event, absolutely roasting. But that was, we had some fantastic cars here. It was a great event.
Yeah.
But I think this time we just wanted something just a bit more.
Yeah.
A bit.
Well, we always want to do something different, don't we?
Something different, you know, a different class of car maybe as well. And it went down really well. We had loads and loads of people. You know, sending emails in of pictures of the cars wanting to show the cars, which it was great.
Again, it was really busy as normal, so it didn't take long for the car park to fill up.
Mm.
And then we got people outside, aren't we, parking up and walking in and having a look round, and
yeah.
A lot of people in the shop.
And of course, we launched some amazing products.
We did.
On that particular day.
Yeah, so we launched our Pick and Mix range,
which is a
retro, sweet-inspired range of products.
So Pick and Mix just takes me back to Walworth's back in the 80s, Dale.
Yeah.
And eating more than you paid for.
Walking skills, spending all your dinner money on sweets.
100%, yeah. Yeah, Mum used to take me across Woolies every weekend, every Saturday morning, and straight in there, Pick and Mix. Straight in there.
Yeah. Well, do you have a house to live in at the end of it? Isn't there every week?
Just about every week. We used to go every Saturday.
And, I can't remember the name of the toy shop around the corner with the big train set up store.
Pleasure Treasure.
We're
on about Bearsland, by the way. In Stoke-on-Trent, Pleasure Treasure, where I used to walk upstairs. I never used to buy anything. She wouldn't let me buy anything. It was too expensive.
I just stand there, look at the remote control cars.
So we just used to have a look.
Showing your age now.
Yeah.
Mine was Toys R Us.
No, we had to keep it into
we kept it real, Kev. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Bearsland boys. Come on. we launched our Pick and Mix range, which is obviously sweets inspired, fragrances, lovely colours. So what do we have? We had a lemon sherbet super snow foam, which is neon yellow.
Yeah, really bright.
So that was
and a great lemon sherbet smell.
Really sharp.
Yeah,
proper lemon sherbet. So that was absolutely amazing. We had one of the most favourites is the strawberries and cream shampoo.
That was 100% my favourite.
So do you remember Little Campinos years ago? So if you like your Campinos, you love this. You
definitely like that one, yeah.
So that was a really good one. So we had a fruit salad interior cleaner.
So a product that we'd not done a sort of like a limited edition of before.
Yeah.
We thought we'd do something a bit different. So we came up with a multi-surface interior cleaner.
Yeah, basically.
With a fruit salad fragrance.
And it smells beautiful.
It's in a lovely orange colour as well.
Mm.
And then to top that off, we had our licorice QD.
Love a bit of licorice.
So I think licorice is either a love it or hate it type.
It's a Marmite,
sweet, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I love it.
See, I like the smell. I'm not a massive fan of eating licorice, but I do like the smell.
Yeah, I like licorice. Do you remember years ago when we did liquid gloss, spray wax?
I do.
And that was licorice.
Yeah,
that smelled epic.
And do you know, when we got rid of that, there's so many customers asking for it back, to come back.
There still is. We still get still the odd email now.
So we just thought we'd make this into a licorice QD, and it's beautiful.
It's a great colour as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. So the labels around the products, really smart looking, funky
labels.
And it is
limited.
And they are limited.
We've still got a little bit left.
We have.
Is limited.
It's limited, yeah.
So and we're also giving away free sweets on the day as well, aren't we, to coincide with the...
I think the staff at most of them, to be fair.
Probably.
As usual.
Yeah. James bagging them for about an hour before the event.
Thanks, James. But it was a good day. But, you know, when we released the products, all the cars around us, all the customers came up to see us. Yeah. It was a good day.
Yeah. We do enjoy it.
If you come up and said hi,
thanks.
Thanks. Sorry if we forgot.
Yeah,
people who come up. But we really appreciate
it. If you're anything like me, I know a lot of faces, but I'm terrible with names.
Yeah,
same here. You know, there's people just flooding through the gates, weren't they? Yeah. You know, but we do appreciate every single one of you that visitors and you know and
make the effort to come see us,
place your car on our car park, which is
great. And I'm sure we'll be back next year with a bang.
I'm sure we will. I don't think we'll be here next year. We'll be somewhere else next year, hopefully.
Bahamas.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, we already talked about a reunion.
Oh. Reunion.
Yes.
Yeah, so so obviously Autobrat are moving. We should have moved a while ago, but it's taking a bit longer than expected. This time next year, we should be in our brand spanking new place.
Fingers crossed.
Which is bigger and better and,
nicer location.
Looking forward to that. Location.
So location-wise, if you're from around here... And especially in the 90s, or late 90s, early 2000s, you'll be familiar with the Fezzy Park.
So,
on a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday.
So our unit.
Every weeknight, Gav.
Our unit will be on Fezzy Park. Which is.
For you guys who are not around here, it's Festival Park.
Festival Park Retail Park. That's the one. So, you know.
Easy access, straight off the A500 and between junction 15 and 16 in the M6.
Yeah, we're in the thick of it. So you've got McDonald's on there, you've got Morrison's on there, you've got Next on there, you've got B&Q on there, you've got Curry's on there, you've got everything. We're on the busiest retail park.
We've even got a ski slope.
Yeah, we have, next
cinema.
Door.
Hotel.
We're on the busiest retail park in Stoke-on-Trent.
Yep.
And footfall, a lot of people. A lot of people go to Festival Park. So we're going to be in there, basically. So
you can spend a full day out down there. You can. If you come see us, there's plenty of other things to do.
There is. So keep watching our social for updates of when we actually
get
in.
And we've even got Halfords on Festival Park.
We have that. So, it's all exciting. Very, very exciting. So have we got anything else to catch up, have we? Or?
No. That's all the notes we made for this episode.
Okay. Fantastic. So, thanks for tuning in. A bit of a catch-up and the do's and don'ts of detailing. We thought that'd fit in quite well.
Yep.
So
we have skipped the talking pants for this one, but we'll be back for the next one.
Yeah, this is just a nice kind of, podcast.
Sedate.
Yeah, sedate podcast.
Nice, sedate and...
nice and chilled and calm and, nothing too extravagant until the next one. like I say on the beginning of the podcast, we're not going to do any jingles on this podcast, so we are going to say goodbye and thanks very much for listening.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
Goodbye from me,
and we'll catch you on the next podcast, so tune in soon.
Goodbye from me.
See you later.
Bye-bye.